You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. The Ukrainian government was about to make a deal with the European Union and make an alliance with them. And then Vladimir Putin and Russia came in and almost forced them to ally themselves with Russia. Now, that has caused massive demonstrations in the streets of the Ukraine and even bloodshed. But there's been a far more important bit of news about how this has changed the government in Germany. Now, there has been, I'm not saying it's all because of what happened in the Ukraine, but I'll tell you, it gave the German people and the German leaders an urgency that they have not had before about building up their military. And they have now made some radical changes. And you need to know what they are and what this all means, because we've been prophesying this for about 70 years. And it's all right there in your Bible. And they're going to get a much stronger military than they've ever had before. And they're going to become a superpower, perhaps even greater than the one in America and Russia and other nations. Germany already has all the economic power they need in Europe, and they dominate in that area. And everybody in Europe knows that. But you need to understand what it means to you individually. What does it mean to you? We've been prophesying this for a long, long time. And now we have people telling us that these prophecies are being fulfilled, and we're taking the words of the newsmen of this world. George Friedman of Stratford talked about this dramatic change in the military structure of Germany in just the last week. What does it mean to you? He talked about a brazen foreign policy change, a radical position. Again, it may not all have been because of what Russia did in the Ukraine, but it certainly made them realize the urgency of beefing up their military and restructuring it in a massive way. Notice what George Friedman wrote in the Stratford Geopolitical Weekly, February the 4th. He and Mark Lanthimum. Notice what he said. Since the end of World War II, Germany has pursued a relatively tame foreign policy, but over the past week, Berlin appeared to have acknowledged the need for a fairly dramatic change. German leaders, including the Chancellor, the President, and Foreign Minister, and the Defense Minister, have called for a new framework that contravenes the restraint Germany has practiced for so long. They want Germany to assume a greater international role by becoming more involved outside its borders, politically and militarily. It has to adjust to the U.S. policy of global disengagement, which is also prophesied. What does he mean, U.S. policy of global disengagement? Well, everybody around the world knows what it means, that there's a huge vacuum left out there in the world, and the Germans and the Russians and others are filling that vacuum. And it's becoming a far more dangerous world than ever before. He goes on to say, and it must manage a complex, necessary, and dangerous relationship with Russia. See, all of this is prophesied in your Bible, and we've been talking about it for many years. One more comment here. Friedman wrote, for Germany, it is a radical position. Given the experience in World War II, it has refrained from asserting a strong foreign policy and from promoting its national interest, lest it revive fears of German aggression and German nationalism. So if you look closely at what Germany has done in the past, look, It is just a fact and the truth that they started World War I and World War II and have started other wars. Now, this is Bible prophecy that's going to reach out and touch the lives of every single one of us in a way that you can't even imagine. Now, Germany is a great nation and the German people are great people, but they have been shaped and molded to a great extent by what is called the Holy Roman Empire, which they have been a part of almost from 554 AD to the present. Almost always. Most authorities agree that Edward R. Murrow was certainly the leading reporter in World War II. And he was angry because the U.S. wouldn't get in and support Britain much earlier than what it did. And he said we didn't really join Britain in that war. We were bombed into it by the Japanese at Pearl Harbor. So we were very isolationist. But he also had a program at that time. This is 1958, and the title of it was See It Now, and it was a TV news program, and he talked about the reemergence of Germany as a world power in 1958. Now, why would he have been so concerned about that? Well, I'll tell you why, because after World War II, he went over and visited all of the what are called the concentration camps, which he called the extermination camps, and he was shocked out of his mind, practically, by what he saw. And he made some of the most powerful radio broadcasts this world has ever heard, and you can still have access to them today because it's recent history, just at the end of World War II. And I mean it's very recent history that we ought to know and have learned some lessons from. And he gave those broadcasts about in those extermination camps. And he said if he had offended people, he wasn't the least bit sorry. He was angry because he saw what they did. And then he went back to London, and I want to read to you what he said. He said this when he got back to London from Germany. He said, "I was impressed with the absence of any feeling of guilt." Now, he's talking about the Germans. After World War II, there didn't seem to be any remorse or sorrow for what Germany did to other nations. And then he went on in one of his broadcasts to say, "No one has yet produced a formula for ridding the German people of their appetite for war. Their recurring desire, or just occurring over and over, their recurring desire to shoot people and to take their land and their homes." Now, that's a pretty serious accusation. And he made it on television, radio, in 1958. And was, well, and even before that. Again, the German people are in many ways a great people. And this is not a put down of Germany. This is just a statement of facts and a statement of history before our eyes. Do we know what's going on in Europe? Do we understand what's happening? There are powerful lessons that we need to learn from history, and we're not learning. We don't seem to have an interest in history today. Almost, it's non-existent in the universities. Why? Well, it's because of misguided people, frankly. Notice what Stratford wrote, "Either something new must be introduced into the European experiment," we'll go back to that, "or it might come undone. Berlin believes that holding the European Union together requires adding another dimension that it heretofore has withheld in its dealing with the Bloc, military and political relations." Oh, they have to really unify and bring it all together. They have to have a strong military. Well, that's the way they thought before World War I and before World War II. Where is this leading? I'll tell you, there is good news, because every single bit of this is tied directly to the coming of the Messiah. Only He can solve this problem. Now, it's in your Bible. I'm not fantasizing about that. It's in the Bible, in the Scriptures, in over 100 of them, as a matter of fact, or 100 prophecies, I should say. Notice this comment. Germany is really too big to just comment from the sidelines. And then he said, Norbert Röttgen, a member of Ms. Merkel's Conservative Party who heads the Foreign Affairs Committee of the German Parliament, said in an interview that the new tone stemmed from a, quote, a coincidence of several events that shake you awake, I should say. When you look like what Russia's doing in the Middle East and the Ukraine and other places, that shakes them. And other events here he talks about. Mr. Röttgen, this is quoting, Mr. Röttgen listed several such events like the war in Syria, the conflict in Ukraine, as well as what is known here as the NSA affair, the vast intelligence gathering by the National Security Agency, including the tapping of Ms. Merkel's cell phone. I mean, they haven't forgotten about that. They're still infuriated by the U.S. tapping their chancellor's cell phone, private cell phone. Now, that's not popular, and the Germans are known for getting revenge, so let the world beware. But the U.S. is falling out of favor with Germany. What does that mean? Do you know that, too, is prophesied? And our booklets will show you that very clearly from your own Bible, from your very own Bible. Now, of course, even the citizens of the U.S. are having their phones certainly scrutinized very closely, and there's quite an uproar over that even here. What is going on in America and in Europe? What is it? Does it all mean? In his widely covered speech, Mr. Gauck, who was a Lutheran pastor in communist East Germany before the Berlin Wall fell, well, he just went on to say that there's such a fast-changing world, and this is their greatest challenge, the greatest challenge of our time is to face up to this, he said. We must have a strong military. That's what he was talking about. And what does Germany do when it gets a strong military? Do you dare read their history and see? I'm telling you, we just have to look at the facts, that's all, and understand what we're dealing with. But everything is moving at lightning speed. The idea that Germany's greatest ally would spy on its most eager pupil has shaken the elite into action. I mean, that in itself has shaken them into action to build a military. Can you believe that? Think about that. The idea that Germany's greatest ally would spy on its most eager pupil has shaken the elite into action. Several experts said convincing Germany that it needs to set up its own more robust foreign policy. Well, that's not insignificant. And that's 1,000 times. No, it's 10,000 times more important than what's going on in the Ukraine. Let me tell you, it is, and your Bible makes that clear in over 100 prophecies. And those prophecies show that the conclusion of all of it is the coming of the Messiah to bring this world peace at last. And it's all tied together in these prophecies. I mean that it's tied together in your in verses of your Bible. And you can see it clearly. Chancellor Merkel has yet to weigh in on, let's say, the use of the military, getting into the specifics and something like that. And she is known as a very cautious lady. And that might lead to her downfall because there is going to be a strong man appear on the European scene. And he's going to come into power, not by votes, but by flatteries. That's what Daniel 8 and Daniel 11 tell us. And I'll read that to you later if I have time. Let me just give you a couple more comments. This one from Europe in Review, January 31st, 2014. Foreign policy rethink. Germany weighs stronger military role. Here's a quote. In her 8 years in office thus far, Merkel has lost faith in the notion that military intervention can bring about improvements. She was particularly disillusioned by the German Army's mission in Afghanistan. Well, I'll tell you, there are other German leaders like Baron Gutenberg, who certainly disagree with her on that issue. So she is perhaps not thinking like many of the elite in Germany as far as the leadership goes. This report said Europe must speak with a single voice in the future when it comes to security policy. They must speak with a single voice, but they have 28 nations in the European Union, and they cannot make them speak with one voice, which means they're going to have to pare it down to 10 nations or 10 kings, just like it's prophesied in your Bible. And then they'll speak with one voice. So says Revelation 17 and Revelation 13. And that's something you need to be concerned about, because it is going to concern your life very much. This is from German Foreign Policy, January 27, 2014, and they talk about how the leadership of Germany, the German Minister of Defense, Volker Rui, has said this: Germany must lead, he said. Germany must massively bring to bear its foreign policy in Europe, not just sort of change it and tweak it a little bit, but massively bring it to bring change to it. That's what they're talking about doing. Well, that means if they're going to do that, they're going to have to pare down the number of nations that are in that European Union. Notice what it says in Revelation 17 and verse 10. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. Now, our booklet on Daniel Unlocks Revelation will explain all this to you in detail, but Herbert Armstrong came on the scene when that one is, or the sixth head of the Holy Roman Empire. And he prophesied, and I've got all kinds of quotes here. If I have time, I'll give some of them to you, where he prophesied what was going to happen in Germany and Europe, and it's all coming to pass today. Now, even as I speak, it is coming to pass. Now, those are facts, and I'm not telling you anything that you can't prove from your own Bible. But there also is one there, you notice, in that scripture that says, one is not yet come. That seventh head is not yet come, but now it is come. It's right there before your eyes, and it's being formed, and Germany has everything to do with forming it, and Germany is going to lead it according to your Bible. Isaiah 10 and verse 7 makes that clear. Many other scriptures do as well. That's where we are right now in Bible prophecy, and what is happening in Europe and to the military inside Germany is prophesied over and over in your Bible. And most all of that prophecy is for this end time. Under Herbert Armstrong in 1952, in the Good News magazine, Herman Hay wrote, "Does America dare arm Germany? Do we dare arm Germany?" He said, "Our leading generals in Europe adamantly warn that Germany is a calculated risk." Well, how about that? But we don't seem to even think about that today. Nobody even remembers that history, and that's just from the years after the last war we had, World War, I should say. And he concludes by saying, "Why will the diplomats think that today the hearts of the people in Germany are different from yesterday? Every one of those undemocratic nations, when once armed, has turned upon us." Every one of them. Otto von Habsburg. Now just think about this. He used to be a member of the European Parliament. He wrote this years ago. He said, quote, this was, I think, about 20 years ago he wrote this, "The European community is living largely by the heritage of the Holy Roman Empire." How many people know that today? They're living by the heritage of the Holy Roman Empire, and he says even the people don't know that for the most part. He goes on to say, "Though the great majority of the people who live by it don't know by what heritage they live, it's their heritage." Well, what do you mean their heritage? Well, the Holy Roman Empire began in 554 A.D., and then with Justinian, and then came Charlemagne. And that was called the First Reich. That was the second head. Adolf Hitler was the sixth head. And he called his the Third Reich. How many people know what that means? You need to understand about the Holy Roman Empire, and even the people in Europe need to understand it better too. He went on to say, and that is a great understatement, those are my words, quote, "We possess a European symbol which belongs to all nations of Europe equally. This is the crown of the Holy Roman Empire, which embodies the tradition of Charlemagne." The tradition of Charlemagne, who waded through blood, bringing people into captivity to that Holy Roman Empire and into subjection to it and its religion and everything else. But I tell you, how many people know about that? In the same article I wrote, there is some real tension between Russia and Germany over the Ukraine. And I wrote that 7 years ago. It's all about the eastern leg of the Holy Roman Empire taking shape. Yes, it is. And if you know anything about the Daniel 2 image, you can see what I'm talking about. We have a huge picture of that image. That's in our booklet on Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. But notice verse 23, "And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up." And then in verse 21 of Daniel 11, it says, describing this man, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person." Remember, Daniel is a book only for the end time, it says. Daniel 12 and verse 4 and verse 9. "But here is a vile person is going to stand up, to whom they shall not give honor, the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." Oh, he's not even going to be voted in, so watch Europe. And watch for this strong man, because he's about to come on the scene. Once they have that strong military, they're ready to do what they're going to do. And this world knows almost nothing about that, because they don't understand Bible prophecy. We'll get back to Daniel 8. "And his power shall be mighty," that leader's power, "but not by his own power." He's going to have help from an evil spirit. "And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people." And then verse 25, you can see here, we need to read that. "And though through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper." Then a little further down, "He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand." That means by God himself, by the Messiah. The Messiah is going to break that organization forever, the seventh head and all of its power, and totally bring peace to this world, real peace, for the first time. I have quotes here from Mr. Armstrong, 1957, where as Germany was in a pile of rubble, he said, "Germany is going to rise again with great power." 1970, says the same thing almost. And Mr. Armstrong wrote in 1980, "I have been forecasting this revived Roman Empire publicly since February 1934. Now it may go together suddenly and rapidly." Yes, it is doing that today. And he said in 1983, "The Bible prophesies of this coming United States of Europe, a new united superpower, perhaps more powerful than either the Soviet Union or the United States." And then he went on to say that we don't realize the thoroughness of the Germans, and that they are going to carry through what they started in World War I and World War II in this end time, and it's in the world war again, which we will call World War III. I'll just tell you this. In World War II, there was Mussolini's son-in-law was speaking with the German foreign minister, and he said, "Well, what do you Germans want? Do you want Danzig? You want Corridor?" And the German foreign minister said, "We want war. We want war." Winston Churchill said, "Look, the history of man is the history of war. We've had peace so long here, we don't realize what has really been happening in history." We ought to be learning lessons from history, but the beauty of this is this last head is tied directly to the coming of the Messiah, and he's going to destroy that last head totally and completely and bring peace and joy to this world forever. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
For more information on today's program, request our two free booklets, He Was Right and Daniel Unlocks Revelation. You'll also be sent our free reprint article on the final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. As you heard on today's program, Germany is fast building its military strength. This is being done in reaction to world events occurring in the United States, Russia, and the Middle East. Our free booklets and reprint article will give you the historical and biblical perspective on these current events. You'll see very specifically where these events are leading and how they will impact you directly. Request our two free booklets, He Was Right and Daniel Unlocks Revelation, along with our free reprint article on the final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Also, be sure to request a free subscription to our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. Don't miss this month's issue, which features Gerald Fleury's lead article, The Ukraine Crisis Was Prophesied. For a sneak peek at this month's Trumpet magazine, as well as articles and Trumpet Daily videos, please visit us online at thetrumpet.com. Request our two free booklets, He Was Right and Daniel Unlocks Revelation, along with our free reprint article on the final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. You'll also be sent a free subscription to the Trumpet magazine. To request the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629. To watch the program online, visit us at keyofdavid.com. If you would prefer to write for today's free literature, send your request to The Key of David, Post Office Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.